Morning, everybody, on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us on this almost snowy Monday morning, or Friday morning, rather. And if it does start snowing, make sure you're careful out there. Don't get too close to the car in front of you. President Obama came to the Islamic Society of Baltimore's Al-Rahman Mosque in Catonsville this week, and he had a message of religious tolerance and unity. It was the president's first visit to an American mosque in the 7 years that he's been in the White House. And while some in his audience of Muslim community leaders and school children and invited guests might have been wondering why it took him so long, his nearly hour-long address to the gathering seemed to strike a positive chord. Joining me in the studio this morning to discuss their reactions to the president's remarks are two leaders of Baltimore's thriving Muslim community, Danette Zaghari Mask, who teaches literature at the Catonsville Mosque's high school, and Imam Earl El Amin, a vice president of program development at the National Centers on Institutions and Alternatives. That's a social services organization. It's great to meet you both. Assalamu alaikum. Nice to have you here.
Walaikum salam. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well,
thank
you. Danette Zaghari Mask, let's start with you. Pretty exciting on Wednesday. When the president showed up, what was your general impression and your reaction to his presentation?
It was overwhelmingly positive. It exceeded my expectations. I was particularly happy about his message to the youth as a hometown mom of three kids. So we felt very grateful to receive that message. And, you know, it did take 7 years, but we do hope that it's a new era for in terms of political leaders coming and visiting mosques, because presidents should visit all congregations, including, you know, mosque congregations.
So you did get the sense that this was a turn the page moment.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. Earl, I mean, how about you? You had a similar response?
Yeah, I thought that it was an excellent trip, and it took some guts to say the least, in light of what he has been confronted with for the last 7 years as president of the United States, and some of the things that they have been attributing to him that were untrue, as he being a Muslim. Ironically, he said, you know, I'm not the first president that was, person that was accused of being a Muslim. He said, you know, they accused Thomas Jefferson of being a Muslim. And so I was.
Yeah, he said it put him in pretty good company.
And the irony was that sitting right in front of me was Congressman Keith Ellison, who is one of the two Muslim congressmen, United States congressmen, and I know him.
He's from Minnesota.
In Minnesota, and I was tapping him on the shoulder because I said, the irony was that when Keith Ellison took his declaration to become a congressman. He did it on Thomas Jefferson's Quran. And so at first there was this outrage that he was going to do it on the Quran. And then one of his aides said, well, why don't we do it on Thomas Jefferson's Quran? And when everything shut down after that. He didn't have any problems after that. It's very interesting.
Well, at one point when we were putting together this conversation, we thought we were going to talk to two imams. We do have an imam and we have a mom. And I want to play some remarks of the president that he made directed towards young people, particularly the kids in the school there, as well as the seminarians who are enrolled at the ISB.
And today, there are voices in this world, particularly over the internet, who are constantly claiming that you have to choose between your identities, as a Muslim, for example, or an American. Do not believe them. If you're ever wondering whether you fit in here, let me say it as clearly as I can, as President of the United States. You fit in here, right here. You're right where you belong. You're part of America, too. You're not Muslim or American. You're Muslim and American.
So when you talk to your kids about the current political climate, what counsel do you give them in terms of how they might react to the bigotry that they are clearly being subjected to?
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. This has been a particularly tough political cycle. We know statistically that hate crimes and hate speech do not coincide with events overseas. They actually spike according to political elections, political cycles. And this has been one filled with political vitriol, a lot of mean and hateful rhetoric. And that does seep into the, you know, whatever happens in the general society, it seeps into an adult conversation, seeps into our classrooms. So our children are certainly affected by it. And so for the president of the United States of America, the commander in chief, to come to their mosque and speak directly to them, I think it was very healing for them. And it was very reassuring for them. I was particularly grateful for that moment, those particular lines.
Yeah, and Imam, when you're counseling your congregants and the people that you're teaching, and when you're studying the Quran, do you have any specific words of advice for them in terms of how to respond to the sort of political vitriol that we're hearing, for example, particularly in the Republican presidential campaign?
Well, one of the things that's important for us to learn our way of life as Muslims. And in the establishment of Islam and in the establishment of the constitution that began in Medina, Muhammad established something that was very, very, the language was very, very similar, that gave everyone the right to freedom of religious expression, the inherent human dignity, that there would be a mutual consultation on issues. So when we know that and we understand that as Muslims, it helps us as we evolve into the fabric of the American society. And so we know that there's going to be, do you not think that you will be tested on that which you say that you believe? So that's the Quran. And so we know that there's going to be certain tests that we're going to have, but our faith allows us to understand that we will be victorious, so to speak.
Let's listen to a little bit more of the president's remarks.
And since 9/11, but more recently since the attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, you've seen too often people conflating the horrific acts of terrorism with the beliefs of an entire faith. And of course, recently we've heard inexcusable political rhetoric against Muslim Americans that has no place in our country.
So, Danette, you know, in addition to counseling your own children and the kids that you're teaching in your job, what do you tell non-Muslim Americans who do have this deep-seated visceral fear,
sure,
which is, to be sure, being ginned up and exacerbated by the political rhetoric. But when they look on CNN and see what's happening in San Bernardino or in Paris or in Boston at the marathon, the fear is real, even if it is based on a somewhat unreal, set of data points. I mean, the number of attacks of so-called jihadi terrorists in the United States is minimal. But what do you tell your friends about this stuff like that?
I don't necessarily get on a bandwagon and speak at people. I just live my normal life like everyone else, contributing to society. There's a lot of research that proves that people get people become radicalized on the internet. They go to mosque in order to be more civically engaged. So there's a direct correlation between going to a mosque and being a productive member of society. But I don't think a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that the media is not amplifying that voice. President Obama addressed that in his speech. So this is a great opportunity now for, because the president amplified that message, that Americans, my fellow Americans, can understand that we are doing a lot. And he thanked us. He particularly thanked us for those contributions. He named several of those contributions. Muslims are your doctors, your firefighters, your police officers, your military, men and women. The list goes on and on. I can't exhaust it in this short segment.
Yeah.
Ironically, what I said, there were congressmen there. There were two Muslim congressmen there. But Congressman Sarbanes was there. But also, he highlighted some of the armed services folks that were there. You had a police officer, Baltimore City police officer, that was there, mm-hmm, who were Muslim. So, in saying in the fabric of the society, and I think she raises an excellent point. One of the things that I always say, look at me. Do you know me? I live in your neighborhood. I'm a member of the Neighborhood Association. I was the president of the Neighborhood Association for 15 years. And so we always exhort our members of our congregation to be part of the neighborhoods where they live. Mm-hmm. And I always, I have a saying, where you live, if you were to leave today and not come back to your residence, would you be missed?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question that I ask our congregants. Would you be missed? So, well, what am I saying to them? I'm saying that you have to be involved in the environment. So you have to be civic minded. And we have many, many Muslims that are. But, you know, we live in, the media is not attuned to that.
Well, I think, you know, Dennett's point is really well taken, that the radicalization tends to happen on the internet.
Of course.
People who are attending the mosque are no different than people who are attending their shul on Saturday mornings or their church on Sunday mornings. But the Islamic society has been targeted for threats. Talk about the threats that you have received, you know, personally and as an institution.
Well, you know, I expect that. After 9/11, we had incidents that occurred, and to show the ignorance that one gentleman that was slain was not a Muslim, he was a Sikh. And so to show you that, but that's an idea of the ignorance that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we you expect that you're going to receive this type of
and we have.
Sure, of course.
Last spring we had a number of threats that actually warranted, you know, the police coming out, and you know, we get these angry calls and you never know whether to take them seriously.
Well, let's hope, as you say, that this was a turn the page moment on Wednesday when the president was there. Well, thanks to both of you
for coming by.
Very much appreciated. Imam Earl El Amin is a Muslim community leader and vice president of the National Centers for Institutions and Alternatives. Dennett Zaghari Mosque teaches literature at the Islamic Society of Baltimore's Al-Ramah School, part of the Majid or Mosque in Catonsville, where President Obama spoke this past Wednesday. Coming up, some stuff about movies. Stick around, Mr. Sterner. Back to you, sir.